on the growing myth of loyalist collusion. That was the heading in a controversial article in the newsletter at the weekend, written by the paper's deputy editor, Ben Laurie. It followed the police ombudsman report on the UVF Lochan Island massacre. The ombudsman concluded that there has been collusion, but Ben Laurie argues that what he calls the sweeping meaning of collusion needs to be re-examined. Spell out what you mean, Ben.
If you define collusion in the broadest possible sense, which is what Dr. McGuire cites Judge Smithick in The Republic in doing that, what it then means is that you get down potentially even to things that aren't criminal. And the implication of collusion is, how most people would understand the word, is that people went out with the intention of causing murder and mayhem. That's essentially what I mean.
So what are you saying did happen rather than that?
Well, let's just go to the executive summary of the report. And this is so important because most people don't read the report in full. It's 157 pages. It's an interesting report, by the way. The first two summaries there, that the police didn't conduct an effective investigation. The second summary, that they didn't discharge their duties under Article 2. But this is the key thing. It's right there at the beginning of the report. It says that there was collusion between the RUC and those responsible for the murders. What would an ordinary person understand that to mean? They would understand that to mean that the RUC wanted these murders to happen. Maybe was involved in the planning of the murders, maybe commissioned the murders or whatever. But not only that, it's not even the case, because this is also right at the beginning of the report, that the police knew about the attack in advance, which would be a lower level of collusion, and actually instigating attack. It's not even that they knew about the attack in advance and then failed to stop the attack, which would itself be outrageous given the heinous nature of this attack. And by the way, Stephen, I really want to emphasize the utterly wicked nature of the attack, because when I'm saying that I'm deeply, deeply concerned about this sweeping use of the term collusion, I'm not in any way trying to mitigate that this attack was a horror. Indeed, this is part of my point. This is the sort of attack in which loyalists engaged because their intelligence was so bad. They, as anybody who has any memory of the Troubles knows, the overwhelming killings by loyalists were random Catholics. They said that they were retaliatory murders and so on. And this was the ultimate in an attack where they didn't go after. I know they claimed there was a Republican meeting going on, but nobody's standing that up or suggesting for a second. I mean, that's totally discredited and despicable insinuation. This is a classic example of how bad loyalist intelligence was. So there's a very big problem with the sweeping definition of collusion because it's tarnishing, destroying, it's hanging the reputation of the state. And I'm saying that if you look at the reputation of the state over the 30 years of the Troubles, very patently the state reacted with restraint to a terrorist campaign, to a dedicated terrorist campaign.
And you wrote in your article, Republicans must be barely able to believe their luck. What do you mean?
I think that all Republicans know, to a man, every single senior top level of the IRA knows in their bones that they were not facing a ruthless state. In fact, I would say that there's probably no state on earth, there might be Scandinavian countries, that would have reacted with that restraint to the terrorist campaign. Now, the reason that Britain did this was because it knew that if it had had an Israeli response, for example, the situation would have escalated, would have become much worse. So what I mean about Republicans can barely believe their luck. First of all, there isn't a ruthless state response to a dedicated terrorist campaign. So the chances of them dying compared to other conflicts is low. Of course, there were people, there were terrorists, there were paramilitaries who did die. And then the state, after internment is a disaster in 1971, and it clearly was a disaster, but even after that, when some very dedicated and experienced terrorists emerge, who are very skilled at covering their tracks, when you're then adhering to the rule of law, which is very plainly what happened in Britain, courts are acquitting these people, often. The state is so fair that often courts are acquitting people whom they suspect to be guilty but cannot prove beyond reasonable doubt they're guilty. And as a result of that, many civilians die. And then, incredibly,
you're being selective here, Ben. You're being selective in your... in your commentary here this morning, aren't you? And I'm currently covering the story of Annie McGuire. There's an example of where the state put someone away who was completely innocent. You describe the state here as this righteous entity that can only do good, and this is in context of this finding of collusion. And there have been many cases where people from our community feel that the state went completely over the top.
I think that's right. And I think that there's no question that there were horrendous failures by the state. The last time I was on talking to you about this, I talked about Bloody Sunday, which was a shameful blunder, as well as a despicable, utterly despicable thing. It was also, if you look at it strategically, a blunder. It radicalized people. I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting you talk about the McGuire family and so on. What I'm saying is that the record of the state looked at as a whole, it's one of restraint. If I had had a relative who was killed by the state, I would have been bitter about that, furious about that till the end of my life. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that there is a need to have justice in these situations. What I'm saying is this. 2,100 people were murdered out of the 3,700 dead of the Troubles. 2,100 were murdered by Republicans. I'm not sure of the exact statistics, but I think most of those relatives didn't get justice. And now what is happening, and I'm coming back to the final point that I was making about how Republicans can barely believe their luck, the whole weight of the state is being thrown into investigating the state. And like this report, it is seen, it's taken out of context. And I honestly think, Stephen, that this is—it's almost like a moral collapse in Britain, that we reacted with this restraint to a terrorist campaign. It was a new thing. Western societies, very few Western societies after the Second World War, had to deal with a terrorist campaign. Name any, actually, very few. It made blunders. It got better as it went along. And now, quite incredibly, given this restraint, given this clever overall policy, in spite of the individual blunders that you cite, the whole weight of the state is coming against the state. It's and no other country would tolerate it. Look what happens in the United States with Islamic terrorists. They just won't tolerate it. They have internment. They have internment in Guantanamo. Do you think? Look what's happening in Belgium now with these endless raids. Look what's happening in France. They just will not tolerate this.
Well, listening to you this morning,
we did tolerate this. And now this has been turned, and this use of collusion is fully fueling the idea. I'm not suggesting this is what Dr. McGuire wants, but this sweeping definition of the word collusion is fueling the impression that the RUC wanted to kill Catholic civilians. That's the only possible thing that you can deduce from that. That's what they wanted to do. That's the impression. I'm certainly not saying that that's what's said.
Well, listening to this morning, the commentator and former Victims Commissioner, Patricia McBride, your reaction to what you've heard, Patricia?
Oh, where do I start, Stephen? I'm surprised, first of all, that the newsletter actually managed to write a column about Loughan Island at all when the story didn't even make their front page when Michael Maguire's report was published last week. But Ben's arguments, they make me think, really, of a first-year lawyer whose client has just been found guilty of a horrendous crime, and now he's seeking to mitigate the sentence. But the reality is that no amount of nitpicking, no attempts to dilute the impact of these horrific crimes are going to be able to distract attention from the fact that members of the RUC share criminal responsibility for these deaths. They are legally culpable, and that's a fact. Now, Ben has described just there a couple of minutes ago, Bloody Sunday, as a blunder. Well, the Savile report,
shameful
the British
blunder,
government
sorry.
Described it as a planned military operation, and David Cameron said it was unjustified and unjustifiable. But I think what going to the heart of Ben's article, I find it actually insulting to the intelligence. He says in his article that most ordinary people do not read the details and that they glean a basic impression. And he's then helpfully set out his sliding scale of the seriousness of collusion, where, you know, depending on the knowledge of the security forces about an attack pre or post the event, it will determine how we as a society should react. You know, that reminded me about the debate recently that's been raging in the media regarding the victim and the perpetrator of the Stanford rape. I mean, would Ben introduce a sliding scale for her? Was she only a little bit raped? Were the Loughan Island victims only a little bit murdered?
Do you want to respond to that then?
Patronizing in the extreme.
Yes, I do. I do want to respond to that. It's absolutely right that in the article, which is on our website, by the way, I do say that if we are going to define collusion in this sweeping way, then we have to, quite obviously, we have to have a scale of collusion. The most serious would be security forces intending to go out and murder. The next most serious would be that they know in advance about a murder and they don't stop it. There's no suggestion that either of those two apply in Loughran Island, by the way. Then the next most serious would be, if you're going to have this sliding scale, that they learn after the event who carried out a murder and they didn't act. That might have happened. There might have been an element of that in this, given that, you know, special branches, a lot of things we still don't know about this. And then the next most serious would be that they do not know who the murder culprit was, but they made no effort to find out. Are you saying, Patricia, seriously, that if we're going to define collusion in this way, that the bottom of that scale, that you make no real effort to find out who did it, is the same as the top of that scale, that you go out with the intention of murdering Catholics watching a football game? So, of course, I'm saying that people only gain an impression. I'm not criticizing people for that. We all live busy lives and worlds where we watch the news and we get summaries of what's happening in France, in the football, whatever it might be. So, of course, people are going to glean a basic impression. And I'm going to come back to this, Stephen. At the very beginning of this report, it says, his third conclusion of three summary conclusions, that there was collusion between the RUC and those responsible for the murders. What is an ordinary person going to deduce from that? It is so far removed from what happened in this murky case that relates to appalling murders, appalling and unspeakable murders that, as I say at the top of the piece, is as bad as it gets. It's up there with King's Mill and that kind of thing, calculated sectarian murder. That an ordinary person will deduce from that, and there's lots of people who want them to deduce
Patricia.
From that, that the RUC engaged in murder and mayhem.
I mean, I have the all too tragic experience of working with victims and survivors as victims commissioner for 4 years, including victims of collusion, but victims right across the spectrum. And I know from experience that the common thread there is their desire to know what happened. And now, you have said in the article that, you know, Republicans must barely be able to believe their luck that that the state will be investigated over its failings. I mean, does that statement apply to the families of the Loughran Island victims? I listened to your show, Stephen, on Friday. I listened to Emma Rogan. And in fact, I contacted your show and I said that her father must be very proud of her courage, her strength and her dignity in how she handles that report on its publication. But Ben, do you think that Emma Rogan can believe her luck now? Her daddy was ripped away from her and her family when she was a child.
Her
has now been proven through this investigation. Surely that makes up for everything growing up without her daddy. That is crassly insensitive.
I'm saying that Republican terrorists must not be able to believe their luck in the way in which the state is approaching the past. I'm not saying that then the victims...
The systematic of failure people, of all of the parties...
I'm not saying that the victims of civilians watching a football match are the same as that. In fact, I'm saying... And I'm coming back to this 2,100 people who were murdered by Republicans, many of whom are not going to get justice.
Okay. Here's Robert Newton Abbey. Morning, Robert.
The problem there is that there's been a systematic failure...
I would be kind to that nice gentleman. I think he's a complete idiot. He knows nothing of Irish history. He knows nothing of the troubles here.
Maybe you can play the ball, not the man here, Robert. Maybe, Robert, you can give us your commentary on what Ben has said rather than attack him personally.
Well, I mean, he wrote the report, so he's entitled to be attacked personally. What he's saying is complete nonsense. First of all, the problems here in the north of Ireland and in Ireland for the last 900 years can be led at the feet of his own country, the English. You know, he doesn't...
I'm not English, by the way. I'm Northern Irish.
Listen,
100% Northern Irish.
The last 5 minutes. Please allow me to talk.
Well, you're getting it wrong. He's going to correct you. He's told you he's 100% Northern Irish. He is not English.
Well, where does he come from, then?
Well,
come from County Down. I'm Northern Irish.
Yeah, well, John... You must be from the old school, then. You must be from the original unionism and prior to that.
Whatever you deduce that I'm from, make your point, sorry.
Do you know anything about Irish history at all? Do you know for the fact that for over 900 years here, the English occupied Ireland. Northern Ireland was divided without the consent of any people. For over 100 years, the people in the Irish state were denied education. No Irish Catholic was allowed to be educated. You know that? I'm a victim of two murders.
The first point is, I'm not going to talk about 900 years of history. That's absurd. We're even struggling at talking about 30 years of the Troubles.
Of the Protestant ascendancy in Ireland, does it? No. The workings of it here, which you represent with the talk and the statement that you claim to be a study.
I'm Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Stephen, I'd just like to come across with this word collusion. I've heard it on the radio and the papers. There's still the largest communists, not saying them all, Stephen, they don't seem to want to take in that there was collusion. Now, if you go, I do remember the Guildford 4, Birmingham 6, Bloody Sunday. People right away thought guilty. When the facts came out later on that these people were innocent, they still didn't believe it. They still couldn't come to terms that the state got it wrong and what they did. We all know the facts. There's this doubt and collusion with them. If the dogs on the street know this last 20, 30 years there's been collusion on both sides, why can't they believe it? Why can't they grasp the fact that this report came out?
Here's a question. Brian, thank you. Okay. Interesting call. Patricia, I haven't had this question fully answered. How far should any police force let an informant go within an illegal organisation? The closer he is to what's happening in that organisation, the more information you get, and that possibly saves lives. Is that collusion?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a dirty and brutal war. And, you know, once the security forces became involved in running agents within non-state or, you know, amongst the non-state actors to this conflict, then they became actors in the conflict themselves. Their hands were dirty.
But if there's
it's as simple as that. But the more important point, there is...
Well, hold on a second. If there is a clear line that informers cannot cross on in terms of illegality, then they're going to be exposed very quickly by these paramilitary organisations who essentially order them to do something. If they don't do it, they'll be defined as a tout.
That's the nature of a dirty war. I'm not understanding the point that you're making. Once, as far as I am concerned, the state crosses the line and allows murder to happen, because in order to protect an informer, then it is as culpable as the person who pulled the trigger. That's unequivocal, as far as I am concerned.
Stephen, can I come in on this?
Yes.
Before I move on, there is an important point to say here. I mean, Ben is talking about the issue of all of this investigation of the conflict being one-sided, and that's a fair point. There has been a systematic failure of all of the parties to agree a proper mechanism for dealing with the past.
I just want to come in on this informer point.
Okay. To litigate the past.
Okay. Okay.
And we do the piece of...
All right.
We do them.
I need to let Ben respond because we're heading towards the news. Go ahead.
I think absolutely, informers. I mean, if you had this puritanical approach to informers, where, and this is the way it would go probably in a modern conflict, because nobody's prepared to make the argument that informers have to be allowed to do certain things, the informers would be of no use. One of two things would happen. They would have been shot dead, a bullet in the back of the head. That's how the IRA dealt with suspicion. They didn't have the beyond all reasonable doubt criminal standard. Either that would have happened, or they would have stopped informing. Or else the informer would have said, I'm going to let some things go through because I don't want to be spotted, and then I'll only inform on certain things. This is madness. The RUC and the Army and the intelligence services had to operate with this without guidelines early on in this thing. And of course they made mistakes, and they may even have done things that were wicked. There may have been individuals who did. And we don't know the extent to which this brought the Troubles to a close, with very, very few dedicated paramilitaries dying. That's my point. And it is an insult indeed to the very civilians, the many civilians at the hands of Republican terrorists at Lockan Island. It's an insult to them to be confusing civilian deaths and paramilitary deaths.
Here's Ken and Oma. Morning, Ken. I can give you 1 minute.
Yes, Stephen. I don't know who that lady is you have.
Patricia McBride.
Yeah, she's talking absolute nonsense, Stephen. There is a vast difference between state-sponsored infiltration of terrorist organisations and state-sponsored collusion. And the collusion in the context that was used in that report is completely in line with what Ben Lowry has said. And anybody coming from a, I don't know, dare I say, a thinking background would know that. And what we're getting from that ex-commissioner account is basically just the usual Republican propaganda. And don't forget, there never would
Well, Patricia McBride will want to respond to that. Let's keep this going after the news this morning. Here's the number, 030-30-80-55-55. Quite a few of you calling, actually. We'll pick us up again after the 10 o'clock news. Right, good morning to you. 10:05. The deputy editor of the newsletter, Ben Laurie, is with us this morning. He has written a piece in which he said Republicans must be barely able to believe their luck. First allowed to wage a terror campaign with minimal risk of death, then the very state they attacked and that responded with such restraint funds probes into its own failures and assists the notion that the terror was justified. Ben has been explaining his article today. Patricia McBride, former Victims Commissioner, has been reacting to this, as have you. And quite a few of you have other questions for Ben this morning, and indeed for Patricia. John, morning to you, John. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
The question I would like to ask to the newsletter, have you forgot the John Stockwell report where he recommended a senior officer for the RUC should be arrested? Has he forgotten about the Glenan gang who murdered over 120 people, where there was members of the RUC and UDR in it? Has he forgotten the Bloody Sunday, the Bell of Murphy, the New Lodge? Has he forgotten all those people who have been murdered by the state? No one ever charged for it. Has he forgotten that people within the nationalist community have been saying for years upon years that there's been collusion? Has he forgotten that the first British soldier shot dead was shot dead by an RUC man in 1969? The first Czech was shot dead by an RUC
man. Well, that's not collusion, is it?
It's not collusion. Well, Stephen, if you can give me another word for it, but nobody was ever arrested for those crimes, then what else could it have been?
Ben?
Yeah, I haven't forgotten any of that at all. In fact, I refer to it a fair amount in my article. And not only that, I actually say in my article that the worst form of collusion, that's the state or agents of the state or members of the state planning or carrying out murder, plainly happened. I think that there's a period that begins with the vile and despicable murder of Pat Finucane in 1989, when loyalist intelligence, having generally been very bad, starts to get very good. I'm thinking of a period for several years, such as the appalling murder of Eddie Hillerton and Donegal and all that kind of thing. I'm not saying that there weren't instances of collusion. I'm certainly not saying that there weren't mistakes. And
well,
Is it not a bit trite, Ben?
You keep using the word mistakes this morning. Is it not a bit trite to describe these as mistakes rather than deliberate acts of criminality?
Well, for example, if you talk about the Glenan gang, members of the security forces, there were, of course, there were 15,000 people in the RUC at its height, or approaching that if you include the reserve, if you include the part-time and so on. So the total number of people who served in the RUC, let's say over the course of the Troubles, let's say double that, 30,000, thousands in the UDR, tens of thousands in the Army. Of course there were. There were many hardcore loyalists in them, and of course there were all sorts of people, including criminals and thugs. I'm talking proportionately. I'm saying that the overall record of the state is what we have to look at. And this bit drip, 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 drip implication now extraordinarily in this report, I'm saying this is not what Dr. McGuire wanted, that the state wanted to kill Catholics. That's what other people are deducing. And why wouldn't they deduce that from that use of language right at the beginning? I'm saying that is the problem. And Stephen, if I was to summarize, if you gave me 10 more seconds to speak, my argument, why did top Republicans not die? Why were so few of them killed when Britain could have taken them out in a single evening? It's not as if they didn't know who was in the Army Council. It's not as if they didn't know who the most fanatical and dedicated IRA people. Why didn't they die? If the state was this wicked, was the state wanting Catholic civilians in a pub to die, but it didn't want the IRA leaders to die? It's nutcase conspiracy stuff.
Patricia?
And it's deeply, deeply wrong on the people who served honourably in the security force.
I want to go back, first of all, Stephen, to the caller before the news. He alleges that I'm trotting out some sort of propaganda, anti-state propaganda. My position is very clearly framed around Article 2 of the European Convention on Human Rights, and that places a duty on the state to protect life, and importantly in the case of collusion, to investigate where the right to life has been breached. It is a duty under the law that states can't derogate from. So that's where I frame my arguments around collusion. It's under international human rights law. The issue there that Ben is talking about, you know, why didn't more Republicans die? Why did the state not just target them? Why did it allow indiscriminate, why were there indiscriminate attacks on places such as Loughan Island? Well, if you ask Gerry Adams, he still bears the scars of the attempt on his life. So does Alex Maskey. So do many other Republicans that I'm sure would take exception to Ben's statement about whether or not they were targeted. But let's look at the issue where Ben talks about Loughan Island being a classic example of poor intelligence for random Catholics were targeted because the intelligence of the Loyalist paramilitaries were so poor. That was a deliberate policy of Loyalism, was to attack random targets in order to instill fear in the Catholic nationalist community. So it was a deliberate policy. The fact that the RUC knew that those weapons were there, that Ulster Resistance and the UVF and the UDA had brought in those weapons and that they were available for use is clear evidence that they failed to prevent any attacks from happening. They may not have known the specifics, but they knew that the means were there to carry out that type of indiscriminate attack. That's collusion.
Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
I just think the term collusion is far too broad. And there seems to be, there's been a narrative from the Republican movement, and it's been peddled by other people as well, of this last 10, 15 years from the Troubles effectively ended, that for the Loyalists to carry out a successful attack on anybody, they had to have the backing of the British state, whereas for the Republicans, they could do it themselves. And that's what all I can say is this: we know that Loyalists were riddled with informants, and we know that the Republican movement was riddled with informants. So why is collusion just on the one side? Why is there no allegations that when the IRA killed a policeman, some of the 370 had died, which wasn't talked about this morning? Why is it just assumed that the IRA done it? There's no talk of collusion there. Yet the minute the Loyalists, when there's talk of the Loyalists haven't done anything, there has to be collusion. It's what the IRA and the Republican movement have been pushing for years, and now it's becoming an accepted truth. And that's a tragedy.
Patricia?
Well, I think one of the things I'd like to ask Ben as well is, why do you think that Republicans would be happy with, for example, the investigation into Stakeness that was announced last week? That's certainly going to expose a lot of senior Republicans. Is that not part of the quid pro quo, the fairness of investigation, the even-handedness in looking across all aspects and all actors in the conflict?
Can I come back in there? I made a point to that speaker, and she just ignored me. Why is it that whenever a Loyalist carried out something, there's obviously collusion? Everybody talks about collusion, whereas when the Republicans did it, there was no collusion. There's no talk of collusion.
Well, that's the point that I'm making.
No, you're not making the point. When Narrow Water was carried out, there was no talk of collusion there. Are you saying that the British colluded with Republicans as well?
Sorry, let me finish my point. The point that I was making is that there are allegations that Republicans did collude with the security forces. That's now being investigated through the Stakeness investigation. And does them think that that will make for an uncomfortable conversation within Republicanism?
This is I hope it does, by the way, is the first point. But this is a very good point that the caller's made. And can I make it in another way? Who is saying, and who said after the Yoma Bomb report, what did the Yoma Bomb report find? It found two things, essentially, that there were failures in the information handling prior to the attack, and failures in the investigation after the attack. Who said, what single Republican said, what single one of these people who are chomping at the bit to tear down the state, to imply that the RUC engaged in murder and mayhem, what single person said that the RUC colluded with dissident Republican terrorists? Nobody. Nobody said
there's
that.
Evidence.
Why did they not say that? They said they didn't say that because they knew the idea would be laughable. But if you say that they colluded with Loyalists, you can then imply that they were in cahoots with Loyalists.
It's not laughable.
So the word disappeared then. The word collusion disappeared in the Yoma Bomb report.
If there's evidence of collusion, show it.